Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we're going to talk about procrastination. We procrastinated about this topic. It took us a long time to say, okay, let's talk about procrastination.
Yep. Yeah.
Because everyone does it. Some people are chronic procrastinators, and some are more episodic like me. Like I just certain things, you know, do it to me. And You're the same way, Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't have your own business if you're a chronic procrastinator, I don't think.
No.
I don't think
probably
so.
Not good for business.
Right, because you'd procrastinate on marketing, selling,
yeah,
billing, all those things.
Yeah. So what's that about? I mean, I get procrastinate. I get it that, you know, there are certain things. Look, at the things you like to do, they're easy to do. But the things that are tough to do on many levels, I procrastinate on the things that are somewhat confusing to me. And they're going to take a level of focus that, you know, I need a chocolate cake or a bag of pretzels to, like, really ground myself, to really focus in on. They're hard for me.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, just a working term of procrastination. To procrastinate is to put off or delay doing something, right? So I think it's probably fair to say that more often than not, the things we procrastinate on are the things we're afraid of. And part of why we're afraid is they may seem overwhelming in one way or another. And for some people, you know, what happens is they procrastinate on one thing and then another and then another and another, and then they have a heap of things that haven't been attended to where they've procrastinated, where now they feel immobilized, like I just can't do anything.
I don't really understand the procrastination over taking out the garbage, because in my house that can be an issue. I don't know what that's about. And then it piles up and piles up and piles up, you know, and then really got it's an issue. So anyway, you know, that's kind of interesting. I think that's true that people, it'll pile up and then it becomes really too big to break down.
And we were talking earlier, so I'm in a situation where I'm taking a few courses and there's quite a bit of reading and some of it is more interesting than others. And so, but if I hit a boring text, I put the whole thing away and then I might not even look at it for several days. You know, and that then puts me behind there. And now I'm behind in the other readings that come up.
And that's stressful.
Yeah. Exactly. So, to your point, I think it is part of human nature. I think one thing that may be helpful is at least identifying it, you know, identifying when you're heading in that direction, and then maybe having some of your own techniques for pushing through it.
Right.
Yeah, I always find support helps. That, you know, when you're just delaying getting something important done.
Yeah.
Whether it's your taxes or, you know, writing that important email. Or just, I mean, there's lots of things that are difficult to do.
That's right.
We procrastinate. We don't want to look at the truth. So getting support, telling a bunch of people, look, I really need to do this. I need help. That sometimes will help.
The other thing, a version of support that I think has actually worked for me and I think can often work is to have an action partner of one kind or another. I know you have some action partners in certain areas, Kathy, and I do too. And so if it's an area where you feel like you don't want to fall behind, but you do want to do a certain action on an ongoing basis, maybe you two coworkers who know they need to change jobs, and so you meet and work on your resumes together. Because that can be getting and leaving a work situation. I'm thinking of two clients of mine actually who worked in the same place that was an abusive environment, and so it's very hard to like recover from the abuse and take all the actions necessary to find a new position. So being a partner, having a partner in that can really help a
lot. I think that for me that's the best way.
Someone holding you accountable.
I don't feel like it's pressure. I feel like it's support that somebody's going to hold my hand and that they are going to be calm with me.
And if you're someone who doesn't like to let other people down, you may work on your things just because you want to show up fully in the partnership.
But what if you're somebody who procrastinates and then you don't reach out?
That's a problem.
Yeah. I guess that's how hoarding happens.
That's how hoarding happens. I think that's also how people get stuck for long periods of time. Yeah. And it's, you know, a person can be a chronic procrastinator and it's not something that they're wearing on their sleeve, so to speak. Right. So you could have a good friend or someone who you think is very talented or very gifted, and you keep wondering why aren't they, you know, going for that job or auditioning for that part or taking that action. And it's really just because they're immobilized by their own procrastination.
You know, I have a bunch of friends who are parents right now. The kids' college applications, I think they're due today. I'm not. Or maybe see the end of the month. I'm not sure. But I know that every single one of them, the kids are procrastinating. Because that's a very tough thing to do because it's...
Also scary.
Right. It's putting yourself out there and it's a make it or break it kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I want to talk about just like the general procrastinator, the person who goes to work and things just pile up because they don't... I mean, what is it? Is it fear? Is it just a general way that people operate?
I think it's fear. I think it's overwhelm. I will say that a good number of people I've worked with who have attention issues, attention deficit disorder, they may not even know it. They may not be fully diagnosed. They feel ashamed of the fact that they've dropped certain balls to the point that they won't reach out for help. They won't tell people that they're totally behind in a certain project or a certain report. And then it's revealed, right, at the worst possible time. Mm-hmm. And then they feel more, it creates a cycle of feeling crappier about yourself, which doesn't tend to cure the procrastination.
Yeah.
So it goes back to your support idea, Kathy, and the fact that I think a lot of times the other technical thing about if there's an item you procrastinate on is you have to break it down into smaller parts. Mm-hmm. And going back to my reluctance to read textbooks, what I do when I'm well behaved is I'll just read the first 15 minutes of the day after I've done other things. I read. And then at least I've done 15 minutes of reading. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I've heard build rewards in. Like if you do this, you can get a massage, or if you do this, you can get something.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't procrastinate that much that I would need that. So I think it's when these things start to pile up and become overwhelming, we got a real problem.
Yeah.
And those people, I think they're going to have a hard time in the workplace.
Well, because they have to cram everything all in the end. Although there are people out there who say that they do some of their best work.
Right, under that kind of pressure.
Would you... We still consider them to be procrastinators?
Crammers.
Just crammers.
Well, crammers are basically procrastinators in action.
Right. Yeah. Dishing out good work.
But actually, going back even to the ADD thing, a lot of people who have attention issues, they either get very distracted or they can do hyper-focus. So, Logan, to your point, once they have a deadline, even if it's 48 hours, they've got 48 hours to do something, that will create a hyper-focus that allows them to drill down and complete that activity.
Interesting.
But it could be exhausting.
Right.
Because then you're tired.
All that hyper-focusing.
So what kind of help is there for people like this? There are definitely books on it, right?
Yeah, there are quite a few publications on it. I think that probably, I would imagine there are a number of coaches actually who may
specialize in
it. This is their area of specialty. And I think the other piece is just if you, you know, peer support could be very powerful. I know there's, I don't know if there's Procrastinators Anonymous, but I know there is Clutterers Anonymous. You know, there are Hoarders Anonymous, that's it. So there are probably support groups that exist for procrastination to address procrastination.
Yeah, if it's extreme, I think.
Yeah.
But I think a certain amount of it is fairly normal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think everybody gets everything done all the time perfectly.
Right, and I think that's one good thing to actually check with yourself. If you're getting down on yourself about procrastinating, there are some things about which you probably are always an immediate responder, particularly your phone. Chances are
you're not a procrastinator. Yeah.
Well, you may not procrastinate when someone texts you or emails you. There may be things, in fact, that can be part of the issue, is that you may be a very good responder and reactor. You may have more trouble self-propelling to create or complete things. Do you know what I mean? So if it's for you and no one else depends on it, then you may have a hard time following through on that. Whereas if someone says, I need this, you may be able to do that very quickly.
So I'm sure there are a lot of procrastinators out there who have a lot of unfinished projects.
Yes.
I was just thinking about a client of mine that gets a lot of inquiries. She's, you know, has this, she's a feminist and she has a big network and she gets a lot of inquiries and she gets very bogged down with meeting with all those people and talking to all those people versus the things she really needs to do. And I think that's an interesting one, that they're all equal to her. Her work and these inquiries are all equal when they're not.
Yeah.
But yet,
there's a good example. She's very responsive, right? She gets those inquiries and she feels compelled to respond and help those people in one way or another. Whereas the other projects that don't have someone waiting on the other end are harder for her to follow through on. That is very common. And that's where having accountability, partnership, a coach, someone who's there to say, okay, let's give time to this. And actually, going back to our writing of books, Kathy, right? We just had to schedule the hours.
Yeah, it was always scheduled.
So it wasn't sexy in the sense that it wasn't like divine inspiration, but...
No. We had divine inspiration once we did it, but you have to make yourself do that. I know that from my husband, who's a composer, that, you know, he doesn't wait for inspiration. He just composes every day. That doesn't mean it's all good. It just means that the good will come if you do it.
Which is another message for procrastinators, right? Is it's not, you're not going to, you shouldn't wait until you feel like doing something to do it.
Yeah, you know, once we went out to dinner with friends of ours, and the guy came in, and he said to my husband and I, he said, now I know why I'm always uncomfortable when I see you. It's because I haven't produced anything. And I knew I would never hear from him again, that he was so uncomfortable. And clearly, I mean, he told us about an idea that he had had for 30 years. And hadn't done anything. So I can't even imagine what it feels like to have that kind of guilt, I would imagine.
And
I've got this idea
dreadful.
And I've done nothing for 30 years. That's a lot of time to procrastinate. I mean, you must have made up a lot of excuses.
But that's a great example of something that obviously there is a literally a crippling fear stopped him from doing anything. So in that case, if that's your situation where you have something big that you know you want to do and you just cannot take action, then you absolutely need to get support. And I would say professional support. Because something bigger is happening in procrastination.
We felt terrible about that.
And badly for him, I imagine.
Very bad. And that we knew we would never hear from him again because obviously we made him uncomfortable. And we haven't. And I don't think he's listening. But anyway, if he was. If he is, I feel terrible.
All right. Well, so those are some ideas. If you suffer from procrastination, try to find some way to have accountability. If you can feel that there's a much bigger fear behind that, get the support that you need. Build in rewards to those tasks that you don't find particularly appealing. And understand that procrastination is part of everyone's life.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.